I'm Lodging Editor Kate Hughes. Thank you for tuning in to Lodging On Demand. For our inaugural outing, I spoke with Mike Marshall, President and CEO of Marshall Hotels and Resorts, and Dan Lesser, President and CEO of LWHA, about how they're responding to COVID-19. Here's what's been top of mind during this evolving situation.
Hoteliers are waking up and experiencing their worst nightmare every day for the past week. How can they take stock of their properties and orient themselves in this new normal? So let's start with Dan. What do you have to say?
Well, I think it's more than just the hoteliers waking up every morning with their worst nightmare. I think the world has done that and continues to do that. As far as projections, there's lots of them out there. The reality is nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen at the end of today, never mind, how long this is going to be, how wide and deep it's going to be, what the backside of this thing looks like. I mean, these are unprecedented times that we just don't really have a whole lot of comparable events to look to. Yes, people talk about 9/11 and 2008, and you do the best you can with that. But at the end of the day, there's a tremendous amount of unknown here, and I think the key is that the world needs to remain calm and recognize that there is a backside to this. The world's not going to go away. And, clearly, following what we're being, told, which is basically, reduce social interaction. And the number one priority is, safety of our families, our colleagues, employees, and guests, that the few that do end up at our hotels that remain open.
Right. And Mike, what are you finding?
This thing changes by the hour, it seems. And I've got, I've got clients, I've got employees, I've got guests that we're just trying to, certainly keep everybody safe. But at the same time, we're trying to figure out how the heck we're going to pay the bills, how we're going to pay for payroll, how we're going to pay mortgages. And, most of my talks over the last 2 days have been about paying mortgages and what the lenders are going to do. And it's just absolutely insane and something that we have never seen. And it's a constant myriad of trying to figure things out. And I don't know that we can figure things out until we get some clarity.
If I could just jump in for a second.
Certainly.
Mike's 100% right. This is not only changing by the hour, it's changing by the minute. And, the world is being just, inundated with all sorts of, information. But nobody, I'm going to say it again, nobody really knows, right? I have been on numerous calls where I've heard, obviously I'm not going to identify any specifics, but I have heard, market participants talk about, cash is king today. That's an old proverb, but today it really, really matters. And, I'm hearing about folks putting absolute moratoriums on payments of mortgages, property taxes, insurance, and the like. Obviously payroll, you just can't, well, I guess you can do that, but you can't do that. And so, again, cash is king, right? I cannot imagine that utility companies are going to be coming around in 30, 40, 60 days, whatever it may be, turning off the lights at not only commercial properties, but people's homes, right? What is it? The 80%, I don't know the exact number, of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. So this is a challenge not just for commercial property owners, but for consumers, right? And the reality is, when you think about it, right? We live in a capitalist society, and there are lots of other capitalist societies in the world. And these questions and challenges about what's going to happen is going to need to be figured out in an orderly manner. And I'm thinking that, you know, there's going to be, listen, the switch got flipped, right? Pick a date, February 28th. The switch got flipped, and you know, when the switch goes back on, the up part of this is not going to be as quick as the down part was. It will be quick, I believe, but not as quick. But before that, I think they're going to have to be, and this is not just for hotels, this is for the world. There's going to have to be some sort of an orderly transition to reopening, right? So if you think about it, you know, people at all levels of income, they pay for shelter, housing, right? Whether it be rent or mortgages, right? They have some sort of a retirement fund, and within that retirement fund, they have stocks and bonds, and bonds are debt instruments, right? So everybody is a debtor and a creditor. Right? If the capitalist societies in the world don't come up with an orderly way to come out of this when it's time, and everybody's allowed to foreclose on everybody else, and everybody goes bankrupt, then the whole fundamental premise of capitalism collapses.
So what should hoteliers' top priorities be in this situation?
Protecting your asset. I mean, there's right now when we're talking about single digit occupancies, where nobody's traveling, when you certainly can't afford your mortgage payment, but you still own the land and the asset. When we're talking about whether to retain a general manager just in order to keep somebody on site to make sure that you don't have people coming in and looting your hotel. I mean, it's really getting into ridiculousness what we're going through right now. But at the end of the day, if you own the hotel, you own the asset. You got to protect your asset. Whether you make your mortgage payment or not, whether you pay your employees or not, I mean, you're still going to own something.
Clearly, you know, one of the top priority or some of the top priorities should be, you know, reducing staff and public interaction. You know, figuring out ways to minimize expenses. Also, figuring out like what to do with properties that are running at 8% occupancy, right? We've heard lots and lots of discussion about the impending wave of the need for hospitals and ICU units. I mean, if you think about it, hotels are a natural property type to do quick conversions to make these types of facilities available, right? And I have heard about owners that are reaching out to local municipalities, FEMA, what have you, and you know, whether it's for economic return or just to be a good public citizen, you know, before shutting down the hotels, they're looking at that as a possibility.
And I absolutely agree with you. And we have done that at some of our properties. I have a hotel in Manhattan that's looking at a piece of business that, you know, it's $79 a night, but it's, you know, 100 rooms. And we might not get it because somebody might get it at $69 a night. But that would keep the doors open, keep our employees employed.
I wanted to go a little bit deeper into that. What other roles do you guys see hotels playing in this crisis?
If de Blasio is to be believed about shutting down the entire city of New York, you don't have anybody to stay in hotels. You know, if that happens across the country, if that happens in other markets, if everybody's quarantined and staying home, there's no need for hotels. We don't have foreign travelers coming in. We've I'm just extremely frustrated in this whole thing, and I'm not sure exactly where the answers are, and I don't have any answers right now. It's a very fluid situation that we are trying to work through on an hourly basis.
And the travel and tourism, we all know this, right? It's one of, if not the largest employment sectors, not just in the United States, but around the world, and a growing sector. And, you know, when you look what happened yesterday with the meeting that occurred at the White House with some of the top hotel company presidents and CEOs, along with Chip Rogers from the AHLA, having an opportunity to meet with the president and the administration. If you haven't seen the video of it, it's a terrific video. And I believe that, you know, we've been given, the industry has been given a tremendous opportunity to, you know, step up and be a leader, right? And so there are, I think, tremendous opportunities, again, to do the right thing, you know, as citizens of the world. And there are all sorts of opportunities to, I mean, daycare centers. The reality is a hotel could be, you know, converted into a temporary prison if necessary, right? There are all sorts of uses that are, and prisons in this country and around the world are just, you know, jam full of people and hotbeds for passing diseases around. So there are opportunities for the sector to rise up and to the occasion and create, you know, goodwill and possibly generate a couple of bucks.
But I also know after that meeting yesterday, you know, Hilton stock is down to $49, Marriott's down to $53. So nothing good has come out of that meeting. What the future beholds is something that's going to be totally different. There will be a new normal. I just don't know what it's going to be, and I don't see it happening anytime soon. There's just so much uncertainty that's out there, and when we're sitting here talking about closing hotels, it's crazy to me. And I understand everything that's going on with trying to control the virus and flatlining and everything, but. And I usually I'm usually a lot more eloquent on these things. I'm just not today.
So the reality is that hotels are closing, right? I understand the New York Hilton Hotel, a 1,900-room property, is shutting down, I believe, tomorrow. Chris Nassetta came out and said that they're going to be closing the great majority of their inner-city hotels. It's happening. The reality is that this is clearly a crisis that, and we have other parts of the world to look to as sort of being ahead of us in terms of having experienced this already, right? In China, although I'm hearing and reading that there appears to be a possible secondary outbreak in locations like China, which is kind of a scary thought, right? At some point, I don't know when, nobody knows when, at some point, this will be behind us. And when that happens, and I base this on nothing but gut feeling, I believe that there will be so much pent-up demand to literally get out, right? We're all cooped up in our homes, right? There's going to be so much pent-up demand to go out, eat out, travel, you know, live life again. And my sense is that there's going to be a tremendous rapid comeback in terms of all sorts of activity, which hopefully will bode well for, you know, not just hospitality, restaurants, everybody in the world. I mean, everything is shut down. That's the reality.
I totally agree with you. I think this is a what they call a V recovery, but I don't know when we get to the bottom of the V.
Mike, don't worry. Nobody knows. And anybody who says they know is making it up.
Right.
So as we're functioning now, though, for the hotels, and I know so many hotels are closing, and that's the reality for a lot of people, for the hotels that are staying open, what steps should they be taking to, one, keep their employees safe, and two, keep their guests safe? Mike, let's start with you.
I mean, we're certainly are going through every guide that our vendors like Ecolab have provided, AHLNA have provided. We are disinfecting. We've got employees at the front desk wearing gloves when they're checking people in, handling their credit cards, sort of thing. You know, if we have any employees that feel ill, we're telling them to stay home, which is a lot easier now since we don't need the employees anyway. It's just, you know, we're doing everything that's been guided as far as protection for employees and guests.
You know, if I could just dial back one notch for a second, I've been on a couple of calls where I've heard owners and operators express, based on their experience, that the notion of closing a hotel is just, it's a horrible thing. There's a stigma attached to it. It takes, you know, very long to get ramped up. And I agree with all that. Based on my experience, that is true. However, these are unique times. And the notion of a hotel closing today, or the notion of a hotel being converted to a hospital ICU unit, anything that we've talked about previously, I have difficulty believing that on the backside of this, that the traveling public is gonna look negatively to those types of assets. Quite frankly, I think it's gonna be the opposite. I think, you know, those that step up are gonna be looked at very favorably and remembered as having stepped up.
I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with that. I think when we hit a recovery situation, it's going to be all hands on deck, and everybody's just going to be ecstatic to be able to leave their houses and go and travel again.
You know, another interesting conversation, and that's potential, and I underscore potential, paradigm shifts on the backside of this, right? Let's start with the notion of shaking hands, right? I have no idea, and I'm basing this on nothing, just my gut feeling, but I have the sense that that ancient origin is not going to come back very quickly, if it comes back at all. And then, you know, sort of moving on, yes, there are going to be all sorts of efficiencies that will have been realized through this crisis that we're going through, right? So think about this meeting that we're having right now, video conferencing, right? Everybody is Zooming and WebExing, what have you. You know, video conferencing is not a new phenomenon. It's actually been around for decades. And I've been doing what I do for 40 years. And I think for 39 of those 40 years, I've been hearing that video conferencing was going to, you know, be the death knell of group meeting and convention business. Well, it hasn't been, at least not yet, right? So, you know, on the backside of this, after a period of time, we don't know how long it's going to be, but it appears that it's going to be a little bit of time, right? Is the world then going to realize, like, why are we traveling? Why are we meeting in person? This is a very efficient way to do business, right? And not necessarily give up on what becomes the new norm. That could be a real challenge for the lodging sector.
So it's not just the immediate challenges that are coming from the outbreak, but the huge changes that the industry may see as a result of the outbreak.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, life is always changing, right? And so there's a change is just part of life.
Let's look at it a little further. After the Great Recession, the one aspect of our business that has not really come back has been the group travel. I mean, there's certainly the meetings, but it's never come back to the level that was in 2007, 2008. So the big full service boxes are going to struggle even more moving forward after this event, in my opinion.
I think that, again, what I said earlier, I think there's going to be pent-up demand that's going to be unleashed, that's going to be enormous, I base again that merely on gut feeling and just my years of doing this, right? Think about just within our sector, within the lodging sector, you know, all the investment conferences or whatever, hotel conferences that have been canceled these past couple of weeks, and not just in the United States, but around the globe, right? It's human nature and human instinct to socialize and you know, meet in person and get together. I'm not a big believer that video conferencing is going to eliminate the need for meetings, because there's nothing like face-to-face contact and looking at somebody in the eyes. And so I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of group meeting and convention business on the backside of this that's going to accommodate all this pent-up demand.
Again, I don't disagree, but we've never gotten back to the levels that we had in 2007 and 2008.
Well, that's also,
I want to believe it is, but it's still going to erode a bit. And again, with hotel conferences, I mean, we're all in the hospitality business. We're all going to show up because we all want to sit there and have a drink together. But there are certain types of groups and certain types of businesses that will continue to slow down, or I don't know. Again, if we had gotten back to where we were in 2008 before now, which we haven't, I think this is just going to be a further. It's so easy to cancel business, so easy for companies to save money by canceling that type of business. It's just a concern I have moving forward.
I mean, I know I'm not supposed to be commenting, but I don't think people are going to want to give up that social interaction. We're social creatures, and so much more gets done even when you're like just face to face, when you can read the other person's body language. I mean, it's a valid concern, but I'm on the other side of that. I don't think it'll ever go away.
It's never going to go away, but again, we have never gotten back to pre-2007-2008 group business. That's the one segment that has never gotten back. We got everything else back. We exceeded everything else. Every other market segment has gotten jumped way ahead of where it was before, but that group meeting business has never gotten back to where it was.
Look ahead to the next few weeks. And let's just say through the end of April, what are your top priorities, and what is going to be influencing your decision making? Dan, let's start with you.
Top priorities? I believe I alluded to it earlier. You know, safety of my family, my friends, my professional colleagues, employees that work with us, and any guests that stay in hotels that I'm involved in, that clearly is the number one priority, and making sure that you know, levels of cleaning and sanitization are just nonstop. You know, it really, listen, the sector had a challenge with cleanliness and bed bugs. I mean, it's all over the internet, right? The sector had challenges with that, you know, pre-COVID-19. That's another paradigm shift that I think is going to happen on the backside of this, that the notion of, you know, cleanliness. I mean, this is not going to be the last outbreak of a global pandemic, right? There probably is going to be another one. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime, but there have been in the past, and there will be in the future. And so I think there are going to be a lot of lessons learned from what to do and what not to do. But to summarize, you know, again, I would say, you know, making sure that public interaction is right now for the next couple of weeks is really kept at a minimum, and any public interaction that does occur, you know, distance, physical distance is maintained.
And Mike?
I mean, I agree with everything Dan said, but I also, my biggest concern is payroll and taking care of my people.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to our channel.